right, how about this? It is a happy Tuesday. Yabba dabba doo, a happy Tuesday here on Big Blue Kickoff on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, along with my partner, two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal. And Rome certainly wasn't built in a day, but that was a good beginning, it was a must-needed win for all parties concerned, the team, the players, the coaches, the fans, the media,
everybody,
and the Giants really showed up and got it done out in Denver.
I mean, you have to give this Giants football team and the coaching staff so much credit going in and against all odds, coming away with a win. And, you know, I think we're all optimistic, but, I mean, even when you're sitting there with the receivers hurt, and then you see OV and Weston Richburg and Paul Perkins and Jonathan Casillas, you're thinking, wow, this is going to be a lot to overcome. But the thing that you love about it, back to basics, offensively, running the football, playing sound football, protecting the football, defensively, stopping the run, giving takeaways, creating pressure, getting sacks. And you think about special teams showing up, and not only with just the field position, but just the all-around way that they were able to play in that football game and the ability to start fast. I know that even in that opening drive for the Giants, they had to settle for a field goal. But you saw momentum. You saw positive plays. You saw continuity and adjustments made throughout the game to go out and play that way and win a football game. And Coach McAdoo, a ton of credit is deserved towards his direction. I mean, I know that when you're 0-5 and all is failing and everybody's screaming and yelling.
Your neck and your hide and everything else about you.
For him to step back and to let Coach Sullivan call plays, that's not easy. Right. His background as a coach, your pride as a offensive coordinator that brought you to the head coaching position, that's a tough thing to give away because you worked as hard as you possibly can to become the offensive coordinator and the head coach. But for him to do that, that's a big step, and that's a big adjustment. And we talked, how were they going to be able to adjust? What were they going to do? How was Coach McAdoo going to be able to respond? He couldn't have responded any better than doing that and saying, hey, we're going to go out and play a game that people don't expect us or give us a chance to win this football game. And they went out there, played sound, stuck together, and played a game that made all Giants fans in this nation proud of being Giants fans. And gave us that sense of pride that, you know, we can't look ahead. We can't look forward to the rest of the games. But what can we do? It gives us another thing positively to reinforce what they're doing, who they are as a team, and what we can look forward now to build on for the Seattle game.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned about Ben, I think it was also important. And it certainly made sense. He felt that the team, with everything going on, he needed to be around and talk to the guys. And, you know, there was all that talk about the locker rooms coming apart and do they want to play. Well, obviously, the Giants showed up, and they certainly did want to play. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, we mentioned the running game. We mentioned this. We mentioned the defense, special teams. Being an old, I use the term old lightly, offensive lineman, you had to be very proud of the improvement on the offensive line. I was happy for everybody, in particular Eric Flowers.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that we talked about is, and I talked about personally, is I loved having the combination of Fluker and Pugh at that right tackle position. They were adjusted. They went back to that. And physically, what they were able to do running the football, you saw how from that first drive that they were going to be determined and dedicated to it. You saw that they were going to be able to move forward with play action because of the success that they had running the football. And I like that they were getting it to the outside, testing the edges. I love that they were trapping people. That was it's called P10 trap is what we used to call it. You know, where Fluker had that knockout block when he came back. Those are things that wear on a defense. That
was forced some knockout block,
yeah, but what was that defensive tackle doing? His eyes weren't on the runner. He was looking at the quarterback. So when you have guys looking at the quarterback and you can get those hits, especially against penetrators, that now look at the way that Seattle plays systematically, when you go to go through, you're going to look a little bit to see if anybody's coming to crack you out of there. So you have to give them a lot of credit. Pugh obviously played phenomenal against Von Miller, was able to be aggressive, use his athleticism. And the player that continues to impress me, I've watched, you know me, I watch coaches' tape, I watch breakdowns. Brett Jones is terrific. Playing very well. I mean, his size is something that people think, well, he's not huge. It's actually an advantage to him because he has leverage and he's so low. But his ability to move people at the point of attack, you could see that he's an intelligent and smart football player, and he finishes people. He plays tough.
Yeah, he comes from the Canadian Football League, but he's in the NFL now, and he's certainly by no means embarrassing himself. One bit of information, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie has been reinstated. So he will be working
back
with the Giants, and he will be suiting up. And that's where we are. But again, it's a happy Tuesday. I didn't think it would take this long, but here we are. We're finally talking about a Giants victory and long overdue. So what do you say we open up the phone lines again? 201-939-4513 or on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to our first caller up. Let's go to Denny in Finger Lakes. Denny, how you doing?
Good, boys. How you doing today?
How you doing?
I am wonderful. It's nice to talk to you both. Mr. Deal, again, appreciate all you've done for the team through the years. Love listening to your perspective.
Thank you, Danny.
I just wanted to make a couple quick comments, and then I just have one really quick thing, not football-related for Russ. But just wanted to say how great it was to see, and I'm sure a million fans are going to call up and say, oh, he gave over the play calling. Well, it's the same playbook, the same plays we were running the weeks before. The difference was our guys were knocking other guys on their butts instead of vice versa. And I can't imagine. I think I heard Paul screaming from Denver when Fluker knocked that guy on his feet
there. You know what, so Danny? I just ran into, or was just talking with Paul out in the cafeteria, and believe me, there's not a happier camper today or when that play happened than Paul Dottino. You're 100% right on that.
Yeah.
So good for you.
I had a big old smile on my face just for Paul on that one. I was very happy to see it. But I wanted to say that game plan would not have worked if the whole team did not play together. But if that sticking to the running game, we only get 3 points on that first drive. If we don't come back and stop them with the three and outs and getting off the field, the offense can't stick to that game plan, and we're not going anywhere. So it was nice to see the entire team playing together.
Well, you know what, Danny?
Go ahead, sorry.
What have we been talking about? And you certainly had heard David say it, and we've all been saying it for the last weeks. That was the
football.
Most complimentary football game the entire team had all season long.
Absolutely.
It took a while, but they got it in this sixth game.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, it couldn't have come at a better time. I just had a feeling we were going to play Denver tough. And it was nice to see that we're not all crazy, and we are really – that team was there. I knew we were that good. It was tough to see them not playing that well. But I'm going to get off, but before I do, I just wanted to ask, because I know you're a big Brooklyn guy. Have you, Russ, have you ever seen the Bensonhurst spelling bee?
The Bensonhurst spelling bee?
Yeah. I forget the girl. The girl that had the talk show with Michael Strahan. It's a little skit with her and her husband and one of their kids in a Bensonhurst spelling bee.
You're talking about Kelly Ripa. That kind
Kelly
of
Kelly Ripa,
yeah.
With the Brejou.
I've seen that. Yes, I have.
Okay. Just had to make sure. Once I heard the accent and the Bensonhurst love, I had to make sure you've seen it. But you guys have a great day. You look forward to Seattle on Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Danny. By the way.
He brings up a great point. Yeah, complimentary football. Yeah, you can't run the football if you're down by 21. Of course, and that's one of the greatest things that we saw show up is the offense showing in the opening drive, building confidence, showing confidence to the defense and to the rest of the team that they're coming out and being physical. And then you think about the defense being able to get the sacks, the takeaways, special teams playing the way that they did. You know, Ed Egan in the third quarter, 10-yard punt return. Nobody's talking about it. That is a huge play.
You know
play.
What? Bingo.
That is a huge play in a game that people, 10 yards and a punt return is huge. And what did it equal? It equaled 3 points because then Rojas kicked the 51-yard field goal. So those are the things, and those are the gritty plays that have to show up in games from players that you don't expect it to. So, yeah, you're right. Could they have sat there and run the ball as much as they did and only thrown 19 times with Eli if they're down? Absolutely not. But that's the great thing about the way that they played is it was so complimentary. And then once the defense started getting rolling, you could see the tone of the game and the Giants dictating the tempo of the game.
Doesn't it always seem so simple when execution is carried out?
Listen
to us this morning. Then it just becomes, or lunchtime, it becomes simple, plain old football.
Yeah.
Running, tackling, passing, you know, punting, kicking.
Yeah. Guys hustling to the football.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the Egan thing.
Yeah,
everybody
nobody talked
was
about
doing
it.
Their job. It was execution on all facets of the game for the Giants. James in Elizabeth. James, how we doing today?
Yeah, how you doing, Russ? And how you doing, David? I want to say thank you, and we appreciate you as a Giants fan.
Thank you, James. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I got a question for the offensive line. Being though that Richburg should be coming back, if the Giants able to move Brent Jones up out of there, because he played well this past weekend.
That's going to be a big question here. Number one, obviously, Richburg coming back from the protocol and all that will be seen, and we'll see how it goes. Because we've seen in the past that you can come back and there can be a hit or something, like we saw with Keenan Robinson, that could be a little bit of a setback. But that's going to be a big question because, like we said, when you get this continuity and you're playing well and you're moving the football, it's one of those hard things to do. But Weston Richburg is a starter. So I believe if he comes back healthy, he will be in there as a starter. But at that same token, I would love in some way, facet, to be able to get Brett Jones on the field. I don't care if it's a jumbo tight end. I don't care how it is. He's been playing extremely well and deserves to be out there.
I think that's in all the coaches' minds.
Yeah.
I'm not a mind reader, but I think the way he has performed, he's performed well. He's a likable guy.
Yeah.
He comes to work. He does his business. And that's what's been needed.
And we talked about being able to adjust and adapt in football games. We saw early in the first quarter and some of those plays, not only with the crowd noise, but the way that the Denver defense was aligning their safeties.
Right.
The wide receivers from the slot position were having a tough time with where they were lining up that defensive end wide in order to try to get down in there to get the block to spring it extra. So what did they – the next thing they did, they stopped motioning the wide receiver. You saw two tight ends, sometimes Ellison and Adams on the same side of the ball. You saw when they wanted to motion, you saw them motioning Evan Engram to in line at the end of the line of scrimmage so he could block that last player on the line of scrimmage and send Flowers up to that safety. So there were adjustments made during that game that kind of went unnoticed, but they were huge for the running game.
What else you got for us, James, before we...
Yeah, I got one more question before you guys close out with me. About the special teams, like far as the punt return. We've seen... We picked up Travis Rudolph. You think we could see him more back there?
I mean, that's one of the things that's yet to be seen. But
yeah,
but to go along with that, when your depth at the position and why he was brought up to play wide receiver, it's risky to put him back there as a returner. And like I said with Egan, it was great to see him play that and get that 10-yard return because – those are the yards that go unnoticed that are big in football games.
James, thank you very much. I think that's a good point. You know, obviously they're thin, the Giants, at the receiving corps. So to say, listen, he's a rookie. You want to see if he can do this, that, and the other thing.
Of course.
But right now, a small margin of error, they can't afford more guys to be hurt on that receiving corps.
And so think about the other way around. Think about when Dwayne was the returner. Dwayne Harris, all the injuries at the wide receiver position, he had to move over and give away his return responsibilities.
You know what? Let's skip over across the pond to Jay in England because, Jay, it's a happy Tuesday morning here.
That's what's up, guys. How you guys doing?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Am I on the phone with David Deal?
Yes, you are. Are you really calling from England?
Holy crap. David Deal, listen, I got a story. I was stationed in Iraq when the
Jay, hold on before you keep going. What service are you in?
Air Force.
I've got a lot of respect. My dad was Air Force, so thank you for your service, Jay.
That's awesome. So I was stationed in Iraq and I was doing TCN duty. And I was watching some guys, some local nationals, do some work on some buildings. And my friend came, he was security forces, came up to me and he said, "Hey, man, your Giants just won the Super Bowl." I was like, "Get the F out of here." And he's like, "Your Giants just won the Super Bowl." So geez, I'm going crazy. These are the local Nationals are looking at me like I'm weird. So thank you so much, David Deal, for being a part of that and giving me that that joy.
No, what a great story. And that's a thing that you love to hear. Not only thank you, like I said, for your service, but it's the greatest thing that you hear from fans and Giants fans. They know exactly, you know, like that story. They know exactly where they were for the Super Bowl, who they were with, everything around them. And that's the thing that you love about being a New York Giant. So what's your question, Jay? How can I help you, buddy?
So I gotta switch it up. So, you know, got to win. I'm happy about that. David, if you can, grade this O-line for me and how they played in that game. And do you think the current roster that is right now, is this the roster that we need to continue it, or do you think changes need to be made going on? I'll take it off the air, guys. Thank you.
All right, Jay. You take care, buddy. Keep calling.
Well, in regards to the offensive line, I think this is the best game, hands down, that they've played, running the football, protecting, picking up different stunts. So they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they played. In regards to what they're going to do moving forward, I mean, I love this combination, but obviously
remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's remained to be seen with Richburg coming back, how they're going to shuffle around. But it, like I said, in some way, shape, or form, I would love to get Brett Jones still on the football field for him. And in regards to moving forward in the future, I mean, you can't look that. Obviously, we know where Pugh is and Richburg and all that stuff and the financials and getting contracts. All that stuff will be dealt with down the road. I mean, you just need to focus on Seattle and build off of the positive momentum that they've had in this game and move forward with it because they're going to need it against Seattle.
Move forward.
Yeah.
That's the two operative words, move forward. As long as this offensive line can move forward off of what we just got to see in Denver, well, then prospects look good. But, again, as we said, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was a big first step. So let's see what happens. And to me, I'm sure you're going to agree with me. This is not about can we get to 5-5? All you want to do is get to 2-5.
Exactly.
And then after you do that, you're going to get a bye, and then you're going to think about that, and then go. That's what the mindset has to be. I don't think for a second they were thinking about anything else, the Giants, going into Sunday night, except let's win the damn ball game.
Yeah.
Let's get a W, and let's get the monkey off our backs.
No question.
All right. Let's go to Mark Anthony here in New York. Mark, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Yeah, I had to – I was just wondering, you know, like my favorite guess of what I thought the O-line should have been was Pugh at left tackle, Jerry at left guard, Richburg center, and of course I had Flowers at right tackle, and then Fluker. And just to see Pugh playing tackle, I kind of don't care who plays tackle as long as one of those two guys are there. After seeing the productivity in the run game, I'm totally sold on they have to. I don't even want to change it. How about that? Maybe I should have led with that. That's how I feel so good about knowing that they're on the outside. I heard a phrase that I didn't think I would hear, and it was a cover sack.
Cover sack?
We are actually playing good enough to pass the ball and go through, you know, viewing 1, 2, and 3. Okay, should I run? Should I throw it away? That means we have time. I mean, That's progress.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Good point.
That's progress in all facets. Like, okay, it sucks that we lost our wide receivers and we gained this. But for everything we lose, we learn something, right?
Yeah, whenever you lose, don't lose the lesson.
Right. This is the lesson in this. This is the nail in the coffin, and I'm not saying let's, you know, taint the season or anything. I think the defense held us down because we won the time of possession. I also believe that the reason why everybody's calling in trying to say something about JPP or Olivier for not getting sacks is because they don't have the opportune time. They're playing two ways. They're playing the run, and they're playing the pass. I mean, I'm about to get off because this is all I got to say. We had OCU and Ura, and we had Michael Strahan. Okay, technically, if you just want to say we had two good starters like that, okay, we got that now. We don't have the Kiwanuka. We don't have the Justin Tuck. Now, if we were playing the way we were playing in the first five games, for us to win those games, you'd have to say, JPP, I need you to take a rest because we're going to need you down the stretch. Olivier, I need you to take a rest. Right now, we don't have that. To me, the reason why we won that game, I'm getting off and thank y'all for taking my call, is the offensive line ran the ball. We got first downs. That's, like, better than a timeout. That's the rest we needed. And thank you for taking my call.
All right, Mark. Thank you. Well, back to fundamentals. Offense run the ball. Defense stop the run. And you saw how hard it hurt Trevor Siemian in this football game. They forced this game and Trevor Siemian to win with his arm, which is exactly what you want to do when you're facing a team that ran for them offensively, were third in the NFL, rushing for 143 a game. That first quarter was a huge indicator of the way that the Giants offense played, but on the defensive side of the ball, stopping the run. We saw Tomlinson penetrating and getting into the backfield, running over people. We saw that pressure started to pile on, and sure enough, Siemian started throwing those footballs that we wanted and expected him to throw in those pressure times. In regards to the offensive line, you're not going to switch now Pugh from right tackle to left and then Flowers back from left to right. That's not going to take place. Flowers has not played right tackle. He's been playing left the entire time. And we saw how well Pugh played at right tackle. Leave it. If it isn't broke, don't fix it.
Well, listen, things have been broke for a while. Now they finally got
a formula.
You want to keep, he did make Mark made a good point there about, hey, we got a cover set.
Yeah, cover set.
No, that was a very good point. Let's go down to Hotlanta and speak with Robin. Robin, how we doing today?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, buddy. What's
up? I just want to say we actually played like all three phases of the game. We actually played comprehensive football in all three phases. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of helped us, win this game. Usually we'll come out, offense come out starting slow, defense would actually keep us in games. And, you know, special team will do their thing. And, you know, we actually finished this game playing, you know, complimentary in all three phases of the game. I just want to kind of throw a little stat out there. For the first five games we played, we only scored about 26 points. That's in the first five games. So we actually started fast. And that's what we need to do, like go into each game thinking that, hey, this is the fourth quarter. This first quarter is actually the fourth quarter. If we start fast and we put points up, then, you know, that the momentum goes our way.
I would say, Robin, thank you for the call. You tell me. There's the expression, you don't want the game to get too big. You don't want the moment to get too big. But having said that, okay, I think especially, listen, they were 0-5. You got to start playing every game like it's the last game and every down like it's fourth quarter in the Super Bowl.
Because it could be, without a doubt.
And for the Giants last week, basically that's what the deal was.
Yeah, I mean, you saw right from the first play in that first drive by the offense, physically they were a more determined team. They were knocking people. They were hitting them back. They were moving and changing the line of scrimmage. And that's something that we didn't see consistently. We saw ups and downs of it. They did it the entire game on Sunday night. They went after the Denver Broncos. They went after and minimized their best player, Von Miller, because of the ability to run the football. And they physically imposed their will on that team. And to be able to start fast the way that they did on both sides of the ball, offense and defensively, you saw the rust of the Broncos coming off of their bye show up. They weren't fast. They didn't show up clicking. You saw missed opportunities from them to start. And those were things that they capitalized on early in games. And Trevor Siemian capitalized. And that's what was allowing to have him play with confidence this season. The Giants team and the defense snubbed that out right away.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to has to agree that it's still incumbent upon the Giants defense. Listen, we're talking about the offensive line and all that. But this offense is being, you know, put together with patchwork right now, certainly with the receiving core. So it's incumbent upon the defense to do what the defense did last week.
Especially in this game, because you're facing a completely different animal at the quarterback position with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's a better
offense.
Forces
you to play 11-on-11 on defensive side of the ball.
Without question. All right, let's go to Columbia, Maryland. Speak with our buddy there, Len. Len, how we doing? Are you got to have a happy face on, my friend.
I'm smiling.
Yeah.
How about that? It's Tuesday morning and Len
Why
is
not?
Smiling.
Why not?
Much
that was a nice win the other night, and I don't care who it was over. I mean, it was just nice to win a game.
Len was smiling when he was getting his note ready for the suggestion box today.
Yeah, there you go. And I got one. I only have one today. I just want to say, you know, to me, the big difference on Sunday night, you know, guys, when your stars play like stars, when the people you're a part of your core 12 to 15, you know, minus Beckham, Vernon, and Shepard because they didn't play. When your stars are playing like stars and when your core players are playing better than they played all year, you got a good chance. I don't care who you're playing.
You're right.
I mean, those guys, it started in the San Diego game. We could see some semblance of a turnaround. In the San Diego game. Okay, we didn't win, but that positive carried over, to this game against Denver. And, our big guys playing big. I mean, that's who wins games. I mean, your best players playing their best. That just makes a huge difference. I'm not downgrading anybody else on the team. You know, I'm not downgrading 40 through 53 on the roster.
No, we know that you're not, Len.
You got to have your stars playing well, and they did. They all did. Everybody upgraded the game. Well, I mean, you go down the list.
That's what we've been talking about.
And I think there's going to be some. No. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No, it's what we've been talking about, Len. It's complimentary football that everybody did their job. But you're right. The stars have to, without your stars making big plays, you got a problem. That's in any sport.
And you just go down the list, and indeed they did one by one. Hey, one play on that first drive. We got down near the goal line. There's something I'd like to see them do more, guys. You know, they ran that jumbo right with Lacoste at the end. Four guys off to the right of the center.
Yeah.
And, I like that play. I like that formation. I hope we run more of it. I was glad to see it there. In fact, I jumped out of my chair and I yelled, this is a touchdown. It wasn't. He threw the ball to Lacoste. I hope Lacoste, if they line up like that again, I hope Lacoste is at the end. I thought he looked just a little hesitant coming back for the ball there. He needed to be a little stronger. But I like the formation, and I like the people who were on the field in that formation. I hope we run more of it, David.
And that's something that I was talking about, Len, the adjustments from the first quarter. And we saw how it adjusted and moved forward in the game.
Yes. Yes.
Remember, you saw early trying to bring the wide receiver in. He couldn't get the cutoff angle to get in to get the safety. You saw more in line, getting Evan Ingram involved. Two tight ends on the same side of the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Like, those are things that now, since you're running the football successfully, those are the ones that you are able to run play action off of. And that was one of the success plays that, and I hate to bring in a play that was used against us, but look at the way that they used O.J. Howard in that Tampa Bay game. He snuck down in that same formation as that end tight end. Looked like he was blocking. They had the crossers to bring the linebackers over, and you sneak that tight end out across the grain. So those are plays that now once you get the run game going and you have tight ends that have that ability, those are big plays to be made.
Yes, if you get the run game, it seems to me if you get the run game rolling, you can open the playbook a little bit with different formations, surprise teams with different looks and things along those lines. And I hope that carries over to Seattle. I'd like to be able to say we surprised Seattle with some looks that no one had seen all season. Now, I thought McAdoo did a nice job in the San Diego game. You could see changes in the play calling. I thought the play calling was okay in that game, and it carried over. Sullivan did a good job. I'm not going to be all hung up if McAdoo takes over the play calling again. I thought there was some change.
Yeah, but
we got some positives going. Let's beat Seattle.
That's right.
From your mouth to God's ears, let's beat Seattle.
Yeah.
I think the game plan right now is to stick with what got us to take care of business last week, and you go from there.
No question. Obviously, it's we talked about it. It's the same offense. Coach McAdoo and Coach Sullivan have been communicating throughout when it came to the play callings. Coach McAdoo is doing it. But obviously, we saw the way that the team was able to be energized by it. We saw the changes. We saw the commitment to running the football. And like we talked about, yeah, the offense did some things differently, but systematically, it's the same guys. It's the same thing. But when your defense is able to play like they were, getting sacks, getting takeaways, you're right. It opens up flexibility all based upon running the football.
You know, last Thursday, now that I recall, it was last Thursday, we were in the cafeteria, the dining room. Myself and Paulie Dotz were sitting there, and Sully, Mike Sullivan, walked in.
Yeah.
He was, you know, kidding with us a bit. And, you know, we asked him, how's it? And he said, I'm telling you, he was fired up. He says, it has been a great week of practice.
Yeah.
He says, these guys, they got their heads on right. They're ready to go. They're ready to, you know, rumble, if you will. He was all fired up about it. And you know what? He wasn't talking, you know, out of the side of his mouth. Obviously, he knew what he was talking about. But that's been the whole problem all season long. I can't begin to tell you how many times we've heard the coaches say, great practice, and you've lived through that too.
Yeah.
Great practice. Why doesn't it transition?
Show up on
Sunday? Well, this finally it showed up on Sunday night, and the result was a very, very much needed victory. Let's head down to Florida again, folks. The number is 201-939-4513. Twitter it is hashtag Giants Chat. Victor in Florida. Vic, how are we doing today?
Good afternoon there, Ross and David. And by the way, David, I want to say that you were one of my favorite offensive linemen when you were playing with the Giants, when you were playing. And Ross,
yes, sir.
I want to tell you that I've been a Giants fan for longer than you are old.
Okay.
I'm 75 years old. But okay. I want to make a statement, okay? I have never been as proud as I was Sunday night of the New York Giants.
Right.
They play with heart, character, dedication, will to win, commitment. I mean, I was proud. I was in tears. I love my big blue. That's all I want to say.
Okay
guys?
All
have
right,
a great
Victor.
Weekend, and I'll be talking to you again.
Boy, Victor, you sound like a combination there of Vince Lombardi and Newt Rockne.
Yeah.
Let's go get him.
But you know what? That was the greatest thing yesterday, working in the city yesterday, walking around, seeing Giants fans wearing their blue, Yankees fans wearing their pinstripes, getting ready for the playoff game. It just, you could, winning's fun. Winning cures all, and it just makes, it makes everybody feel so much better, and you could feel the vibe in the city yesterday because of it.
Can I tell you, I go for my run yesterday morning.
Did you see your woman, the elderly
no,
woman?
No, no, but I'm going for my run. I got my Giants sweat on, and I'm going for my run, and people are honking a horn,
yeah,
and they're giving you the thumbs up and happy, and then show up. I was at the stadium,
yeah,
last night for the Yankees game, and you're right. It is, listen, this is the best place in the world to win. It is just tremendous.
Yes,
but
it is.
But it can be just dreadful, dreadful, dreadful to lose.
And like I
said, it is.
And
that's the way it is.
But you know what? That's the thing that you have to love about Giants fans and being part of
the
this
passion.
Organization. The passion, the pride. This goes on generation after generation. And, you know, yeah, there's tough times and people say harsh things. It's because they love their Giants. They love this football team and this organization, and it's been a fabric of their family for so long. So, yeah, when you see things like this happen, it's awesome because you're right. It sent a message to everybody, and it just brings a bright day to everybody who has been so invested and has been waited for this.
No, without question. Let's go to Mike in North Bergen. Mikey, how are you today, my friend?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon. How you doing, man?
Good.
We're
what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say, you know, for all the Giant fans out, so-called Giant fans out there that want to go ahead and talk about trading Eli Manning over here, over there, they need to just cut that nonsense out already. I think this guy's proven himself time and time again. He's deserved that honor to want to stay if he wants to stay. That's just my personal opinion. And another thing I want to touch on is what's going on with Rhett Ellison. I don't understand why they don't really get him involved too much in the game plan. If we could continue to get this running game going good, it should open things up for some play action, which Eli's excellent at. And I think we should be finding Red Ellison open in the seam routes or something. What do you guys think about that?
Well, Mike, let me just say this first. For the technical stuff, I'll defer to my partner here. But when you talk about stopping the talk about Eli trading, I don't think, Mike, the fans are doing that as much as listen, the team's 0-5, and I'm reading about it last week.
Eli's not going anywhere.
People have to write and come up with storylines. Let's bring in, well, if the we're going for Darnold or from USC or Rosen. Come on. Eli's not going anywhere.
I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. In the time that I've been here and been a part of the football team and a part of the Giants, and obviously, you know my relationship with Eli is one of my best friends. But I always said,
absolutely,
if I got a dollar for the amount of times that whether people wanted Eli because he was too old or he was too bad or we need to trade him, if I got a dollar every time, I'd be Matthew Stafford sitting here right now. And for a player who is criticized and has that harsh thing, well, when adversity hits, he doesn't show any emotion, but when it's great times, he's cool and clean. He's the same player. He's the same exact person. And for a player who just started his 205th consecutive game in Denver, look across the NFL and look at the problems that other teams have had at the quarterback position and who they roll out there with on Sundays.
Mike, you've heard me say it here several times. Eli has, and nobody could attest to it more than David here, Eli has that Opie Taylor of Mayberry exterior, but he's like as tough as nails. He's the raging bull inside.
Yeah. And I
you can't knock him down.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
And you can't knock him down.
And believe me, like I said, my loyalty, my pride, and everything is to Eli Manning. And with the Super Bowls and with anything like that, people always ask me, "Well, what do you think?" I said, I would not, even going back, no matter where I was. In a fourth quarter situation, there's not a single quarterback I would rather have behind me than Eli.
Yeah, that has been.
And I can say that without hesitation. I can put my hand on a Bible. With all that said, there is nobody more prepared, more ready to step up to a challenge when the pressure is on and to make a play than Eli Manning.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, and thank you. Really, when I started reading that, I said, well, this is where when you lose in this town, it gets nuts. I mean, to me, the thought of that was absolutely – it was like already we're planning on a 1-15 or 2-14 season. They lost the 5 games in a row. And believe me, everybody was ripped apart and sick to their stomachs over it. But this stuff – I mean, Eli's not going anyplace.
No.
He's not going anyplace unless he wants to go someplace. And even that, they're not willing to say bye-bye, so long, farewell. No, not at all. Billy in New Jersey. Billy, how are we doing?
Good afternoon, Russ. David, how are you?
How you doing, Billy? Bill?
Hey, Dave, I just want to say, man, you're one of my all-time favorite Giants offensive linemen. I just appreciate the intensity that you brought to the game, especially when you took your helmet off. And your versatility was unbelievable.
Thank you, Billy. What's going on, man? What can we help you with?
Hey, that game the other night, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I was scared to death. I went to the sports bar by myself. I didn't want to see anyone I'm telling you, I was by myself. And it was something different than the air with the team, man. That aura was unbelievable. I said to a guy that was sitting next to me, I said, hey, something looked different here. These guys, there's something different, right? So then I see that McAdoo wasn't calling the plays. And you can pretty much tell because it was just a totally different play calling, some plays that I had been saying that they was running them, and not only that, it was just a good game. I called in Friday and I was speaking about them playing ugly football, smash mouth, run straight at them, and I'd be damned if they didn't do that. And I think that they caught Denver off guard, and I don't think Denver could match the intensity. And I thought that that I don't hear anybody say anything about. I thought that the D coordinator Snack. I thought he called a hell of a game. I mean, he forced the issue. I take my call up there.
Okay, but Billy, thank you very much. Listen, when we were talking about complimentary football,
yeah.
Dave, I think that applies to the coaches too.
No question.
Everybody had a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. The adjustments made, the game plans made by the offense and defensive coordinators, and the ability to go out and do it out on the football field was the big thing. And like I said, a lot to be proud of. Still a lot to learn from this game, obviously, when you watch film. But the momentum's going in the right direction, and they have a launching pad of positivity and confidence to build off of, winning a football game in Denver when they still had points that were they should have had that they didn't based upon some of the things that took place in the game.
You know, he mentioned something about, Billy did, about catching him off guard, catching Denver off guard. I don't think it's so much because to me, in professional sports, you hear it's a trap game.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy into that because whether it can be in a player's head, coaches aren't going to allow that. Coaches coach each week. They coach you up. You might say something different about it. But I think what happened in the Denver game from just myself watching it, I think in that first quarter, on that first drive, I think with the way the offense came out, I think Denver looked at themselves and said, well, you know, these guys aren't laying down. We're in a dogfight right here.
Giants came out and threw the first punch.
That's exactly what they did.
Denver team coming off of a bye. Like you said, it's not like you're sitting there in your preparation, oh, this team's 0-5, I'm not going to watch this. But it was a surprise to the Denver football team, and they kept punching and swinging and fighting on the Giants' side of the ball, both sides, and they got the outcome that they earned and deserved in this football game.
You know, I don't know if any of you fans are boxing fans out there. The worst thing that can happen to a fighter is when he hauls off, smacks a guy square in the chops, and the guy
right
doesn't
back
blink.
Him. He doesn't
and
flinch.
Then it's, and especially if you happen to be a big hitter.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, boy.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go. Now I'm in for this sucker's going the distance because I'm in for a long night. That's exactly the kind of mentality that I think what the Giants gave to Denver. So I don't think it was so much catching them off guard. It's just Denver woke up right away in that first quarter and said, boy, for an 0-5, we got ourselves a hands full this evening, and a hands full they had it indeed.
I pulled up some on Giants chat here on the on Twitter. Somebody, let's see what they said on Giants chat here. Somebody, Brett Jones, was one of the best players in Canadian football, and that's why the Giants went out and got him. Great move by the Giants bringing him in.
I think he was Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I think he was a Grey Cup winner, which is their equivalent to the
Super
Bowl.
Super Bowl
as well.
Yeah. And so, it was great because that scrappy way he played reminded me of Rich Soibert, the 69 I played with.
But yes, indeed. You know what? That's a good comparison.
Yeah. Scratcher, fighter, car. Oh,
fighters,
yeah.
You know, remember when Rich broke his leg?
Oh, do I ever.
Was he going to come back?
And yeah.
He sure did come back.
Sure did.
To be a Super Bowl champion. Let's go to Manhattan and speak with Gabriel. Gabe, how are we doing today?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, David?
What's up, Gabe?
I've been wanting to call in for like the past 5 weeks and talk about everything that's been going on. So I might bring up something that's old, but I do want to talk about the Sunday night's game and stuff. But I just feel like up until today, the offensive game plan has just been stale. And Ben McAdoo might have saved his job for giving up the play calling and letting the offensive coordinator take over. But I don't want to take anything away from the offensive lineman because I'm not going to lie. Like, everybody did have a solid game, especially Jones and Flowers and Pugh. But honestly, if we think about it, on offense, we only won the game from two players, really. Like, Eli played good, don't get me wrong. Orleans Darkwa, and really our tight end, Evan Ingram, was the only guys who really stepped it up. I'm not taking anything away from our team. We had a good game, but I just think that the Broncos maybe aren't as good as everybody thinks they are. But I just hope next year we take everything in consideration from what happened with this season and the owners really think about what's going on and try to fix things because, like, I'm one of the most passionate Giants fans. Like my favorite team out of any sport is the Giants. Like, I believe blue. And I just
don't want to go through another season like this.
Well, but Gabriel, and thank you for the call. I would suggest, though, to you, enjoy the passion right now. Listen, I don't think anybody's job was on the line going into Sunday night. You've said the only people who showed up. I'm going to disagree with you on that. I know Dave is certainly going to disagree. The whole offensive line showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all those guys, Darkwar and Eli White, the offensive line had a lot to do with any and everything.
Yeah.
So to say, you follow what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you have a little bit of agita and frustration built up in the previous five games, but to me, they just turned let's not say they turned it around, but they took a giant step in the right direction. Yeah. To me, I would enjoy that now and see what they can do moving forward.
And one thing that he said, and which I have on Giants chat that's driving me crazy, talking about the Broncos team, that it wasn't a complete team, that Seattle's that team. How could you not be excited and talk about now the Broncos team? Well, now we don't think that they were that good. You weren't saying that before the game.
No.
When they were coming in 3-1, absolutely destroyed Dallas, coming off of a win the week before the bye at Oakland, coming in as the number one rushing team, number two on second down defensively, second in big plays stopped, second in yardage stopped, offensively third rushing, sixth on third down. That's not a complete team.
Again,
come on. Let's be realistic.
Listen. The Giants deserved a lot of beating up the previous 5 weeks, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But now let's give credit where credit is due. They showed up.
No question.
When the whole world, if you want to talk, use every cliche you want. Circle the wagons. The whole world's against us. It's up to us. The only people we have are ourselves.
It worked. Because it was true.
I mean, everybody said they were Custer going into the Little Bighorn.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
But they believed.
But this time, Custer prevailed.
That's right. They believed. They came out, and Buster Douglas threw the first punch and won the fight.
No, but really.
Yeah, it's true, though. You're right.
You bring up Buster Douglas. I remember the first.
I remember that fight, too.
No, but I remember the first Tyson-Holyfield fight. And besides being on TV, I was doing the radio at the time, and I picked Holyfield to win the fight. And everybody said I was nuts. And people were writing about the fight that they shouldn't even sanction the fight because Tyson could kill Holyfield. It's just a ridiculous mismatch. Holyfield wins the fight. What's the storylines the next couple of days? Well, maybe Tyson's a fraud. Who did he fight beforehand? You got to give credit where credit is due. And the credit goes to the Giants. They had their backs to the wall. They would do or die. All the cliches you want. But they came up big.
If anybody was robbed after that, it was me buying Buster Douglas knockout boxing on Sega Genesis. I'll tell you that.
Lisa, our friend in Brooklyn, I'm sure you had yourself a happy Monday morning with school.
Hi, guys.
How
hey,
are you, Lisa?
Lisa. I know you were stomping out this last weekend and yesterday.
We stomped, and I had the best sleep on Sunday, and we had a party on Monday.
Good for you.
How can we help you, Lisa?
What a great game. I have to say that I was never so proud of my Giants, but I have to say I saw heart on that field. You know, I'm a Giants fan for a lot of years, and when you tell the Giants they can't, they do it. I saw a team that everyone had not even going to be competition. And they came out on that field, and man for man, they proved everybody wrong. The offensive line, fantastic. Did you see that play with DJ Fluka?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we were talking about earlier, yep.
Oh, I couldn't get over it. That knock when Darkwa went for that run, I said DJ Fluka should just always be on that line. And Brett Jones, I think, is fantastic. I agree with David. I hope they find a way to keep him in that line. And Janoris Jenkins, they didn't have Cromartie and DRC, and they just came together. and they just said, we're going to do this. It was fantastic to watch. I'm so happy, but I have a question. Did you guys hear anything about Vernon?
Not as of yet.
And that's the. I was kind of wondering about that, Lisa. And I, you know, I'd say, you know, David, maybe you can shed light on it. Only because, what do you think they do? Because you have a situation. Obviously, they need him.
Yeah.
But you have a situation. If they rest him this week, then you rest him. Then you have the bye. So. Does that come into it, or if he's ready to go? Because he wants to go.
Yeah, I mean, and if he's ready to go, he's got to play him.
There's not a fringe player.
Yeah, it's not a number one. It's not a fringe player, but number two, where you're at right now in the season, you can't afford to take that rest because of that. Having the bye next week affords you to say, hey, if you think you can go and go the whole game or on a pitch count, they've got to use him because they need that pass rush threat. This week up against Russell Wilson, we talked about early on in the season, no line problems, not just with the offensive line of the Giants, but around the league. Seattle was one of those football teams. I covered Seattle. I called one of their games. Their offensive line has issues when they can't run the football. And when you have two bookend defensive ends like JPP and Olivier Vernon, that allows you to flexibility-wise do so much to compress the pocket and be lane discipline in those restricted lanes when you're rushing them. So if he's up and he's ready to go, you've got to play him. And the thing that I like that they did in this game is moved JPP back to the left defensive end position, not where he was up against the Chargers. We know that he had those two in offsides lined up in the neutral zone. He was lining up, putting the hand that he has injured in that spot. So when he was trying to put weight in between, his hand was actually bouncing forward because of the way his brace is on that hand. So it's not like he was lining up. They didn't warn him. But when he was going to move, the brace was moving his hand forward, right. And that's why he had both of those.
Lisa, thank you for the call. You know, Lisa brings up the Fluker the Fluker play.
Oh, the P-10 trap.
There was one hit, though, and I can't remember the exact play, but – they mentioned it on the air, but
B.J. Goodson had one too.
Well, but C.J. Anderson.
Oh, C.J. Anderson
ran into Kerry Wynn.
Yeah,
it was like a cartoon.
Yeah,
you know, like when you run into it, it just slides down.
Yeah.
That's what it, I mean. Kerry was just standing there,
and Kerry had a blocker on him.
Yes,
it was his off arm that he did it with, and that, like I said, the Giants were the team that went in there and threw the first punch, and they threw throughout the entire game. And they got the knockout that they needed in the end of the game.
Listen, folks, we haven't had a chance. Let's all be frank. We haven't had a chance to wave some pom-poms. And this today hasn't been like a pom-pom waving day. It's enjoying the victory. When nobody is saying everything is solved.
No.
You have star players not playing, out for the year. You have broken ankles. You have a lot. Still questions. A couple of notes, though. They put it all together, as they said, a complimentary game on Sunday. And one guy we haven't
one
really –
One thing that you always – as you continue, but in regards to that, what did we see this past week? Potential hit productivity. And that's all – once you start seeing that, that gets you excited. That gets you excited about what's coming up. It lets you stay positive and look forward to the next game. And like we were talking about, Evan Ingram, JPP, Snacks Harrison, you can go on and on. Players rose to the occasion and stepped up for this football team.
Speaking of rising to the occasion, you know, it was still a rookie, whether he's a first-round pick or not.
Gallman.
They needed Evan Ingram to step up. And, you know, I'd call it a coming-out party or whatever. He stepped up
big time.
I mean, the spotlight was on him, the microscope, and he had himself – a hell of a game. You can see what kind of weapon. That's a glimpse into the future.
Yes.
I don't think anybody's complaining about that draft choice today.
No.
That was a good glimpse into the future. Evan Ingram, like I say, folks, it's 1-5. We got a long way to go. Wouldn't it be great if they can go ahead, get a W Sunday, and then from there you go into the bye week and everybody can breathe a little easier. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
All right. For David Deal, I am Russ Salzberg. Thank you, as always, for being part of our Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. I will see you back here tomorrow. Thanks for being part of it.
Have a great one. Go Giants.